Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Tuesday, December 31st, 2024, the last day of 2024. I hope all of you enjoyed your 2024 year and are looking forward to 2025, which the Green Bay Packers will be the next time they play this season. It will be 2025. They will play at Lambeau Field against the Chicago Bears, which as of the time of this recording between Jacob Morley and myself is to be determined. Personally, since the world revolves around me, I'm rooting for Saturday, but whatever. The reality of the situation is the game on Sunday for Green Bay doesn't matter for too terribly much unless you're concerned about seeding, which Jacob Morley and I will talk about tonight. The Packers drop another game against Minnesota. They are now 0-5 against teams with a better record than them this season. They have lost to Detroit by 3. They have lost to Minnesota twice by 2, and they lost to Philadelphia by 5 in the season opener this year. What more to say than that is that the Packers are 0-5 against teams better than them, and I got bad news for everybody. With the playoffs coming up, it's a good problem to have, I suppose, is that you're going to play those because it means you're in the postseason. But you don't get to the playoffs on the ifs and buts or candy and nuts. And I see the people that can butter knife stuff and say, well, you know, if this didn't happen and if Edgerrin Cooper isn't called to line up offsides, which was an egregious call, by the way. But whatever, that's if it wasn't that, it would have been something else, right? That's just kind of the trend of these Green Bay Packers. Welcome to the show, everybody. Before I get too deep into this, I am Jacob Westendorf again. We are filling in for Andy Herman. And since I am so egregiously and offensively ugly, we had to bring in someone much better looking than I am who happens to share the same name as me. That is Jacob Morley, who is educating your children, coaching your 7th and 8th grade basketball teams, and tonight talking about the Green Bay Packers and getting prepped for Jake. You got one regular season, two guaranteed games left for the Packers. And then you and I will be doing the Green Bay Draft Guide where we steal content for a living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Certainly do. But yeah, man, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, this team has lost 5 games to 3 teams by like an average of 4.5 points.
I think it's 18 total, you said? I'm not good at math.
Yep. That, and like that's,
and 10 of those 18 came against Detroit the first time.
Right. Yeah. And so yeah, a lot of close games where they just, it came down to, I mean, the last game against Detroit came down to them having to convert a 4th-and-1 or whatever, which they did. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then it came down to the Vikings having to get a first down, and which they did. And kudos to them. So it's bizarre to me. And it's died down, you know, the day after people always kind of calm down a little bit on the interwebs. But, man, the wringing of hands on X.com is just, I mean, it's bizarre to me because they can't win these games. They haven't won these games. That doesn't mean they can't. Okay, they've been in pretty much all of these games. They need to start faster. They need to play cleaner. They need to stop shooting themselves in the foot. It at this point, like I'll listen to people say, well, that's who they are because that's what they do. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that has to be who they are in the playoffs.
I will say this too, like who they were. And I know that it gets annoying when we do the whole 2010 thing every single year, but in 2010, the Packers lost a bunch of games like this one where it was like, oh man, they don't win. They lose to Chicago. They lose back-to-back games at home back-to-back overtime games, one at home, one in Washington, where they miss a field goal. And then they lose to New England, and they lose to Detroit by one score. Just down the line, they can flip the switch. That is where I am at with this. By flip the switch, I don't mean like they're holding things back and that the other teams have just been lucky or whatever phrasing it is. But I'm also tired of hearing the phrase fraudulent. Mm-hmm. Whether it's about the Vikings, the Lions, the Chiefs, whomever, and now also about the Packers. if you had to ask me what's my confidence level in Green Bay being able to win a championship, it's not very high. I don't think that's unfair, because right now the reality is, as we record, Washington is beating Atlanta early in the game. But if Washington wins, Washington controls their own destiny for the sixth seed next week. So that means pretty much no matter what Green Bay does on Saturday or Sunday when they play, they will be ticketed to Philadelphia to play the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs. And Saquon Barkley and, you know, healthy Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and all those people that the Eagles have, we've seen them before, right? Then they'll have to play one of Detroit or Minnesota, and then if they win that game, an NFC championship game will be probably in either Detroit or Minnesota. That is a very long, arduous, tough road to travel. And if Green Bay loses in the playoffs at some point and says, man, if we had just gotten a game at home, or maybe, not that there's any light teams in the playoffs, because Morley, you and I have talked about this pre-show, but like, I don't think there's any denying it's a quote unquote easier start by having to play Tampa Bay or Atlanta in the first round, or Los Angeles or Seattle in the first round than it would be. I mean, there are people, myself included, that think if every team in the NFC plays their A game as currently constructed, that Philadelphia is the best team in the NFC. I think that is true. If Philly plays their A game against anyone else's A game in the NFC, they're the best team. Now, they don't always do that. And Jalen Hurts, there's certainly some discourse to be had there. But I'd rather face Atlanta or Tampa or something. But if Green Bay doesn't get to do that, it looks like they're not going to be able to. If Green Bay doesn't get to do that, it's going to be their own fault, because they control the outcome. The last thing that you want in the NFL is to have your fate tied to somebody else, right? Needing a win and then somebody else to do something. Green Bay didn't need that to get into the postseason, but now they do need that for seeding purposes. And most, like, they need either Atlanta to beat Washington, or next week it'll be, I believe they play Dallas, who's playing with Cooper Rush / Trey Lance and tickets to Cancun after the game's over. So we'll see if that's what happens. But right now it looks like Green Bay's ticketed to Philadelphia for the first round of the playoffs, which, Morley, your take on that is kind of, bring it on.
Yeah. I mean, what would be sweeter than going through the three teams that beat you this year to get to the Super Bowl?
Oh, I agree with that. Like, if I could draw it up, you always say that. If you could draw it up, I remember
talking type stuff. And I'll say this, you talk about these teams at their peak. Mm-hmm. What teams can be the best? I don't disagree. I think Philadelphia is probably the most talented roster in the NFL. If everybody's healthy, everything's firing. I think in the NFC, Green Bay would be right behind them. And the caveat to that might be Jordan Love is better than Jalen Hurts when they're playing their best football.
Yeah.
And in the playoffs, it is set up for quarterbacks. And Jared Goff has had a great year. Sam Darnold has had a great year. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback, but Jordan Love at his best is better than him. It just is. Yep. And that is what it will take. It will take that. It will take him catching fire and playing at that level. It will take the young receivers to catch the damn ball on third down, and make a play. And you're hard on these receivers sometimes, and I'm hard on these receivers sometimes. Like, the fourth down play to Jaden Reed is a tough catch. Jordan said after the game he missed the throw a little bit, but that is a catch you got to make. If you're gonna beat these teams, you have to make that catch. Hits you in the hands, make the catch. Like, there was a play later in the game too where I think he was interfered with, and I think he got pushed in the back before the ball got to him. But guess what? The ball hit him right in the hands. You got to come down with that ball. Okay, that is the whole thing, is they can, and we've seen them do it. But can they do it consistently all together? The thing about this team that I think a lot of people forget is they are still the youngest football team in the NFL. They are a very talented team, and that is why they've won 11 games. They're a very well coached team, and that's why they've won 11 games. But they are still, like, I think their average age is like 25 and a half. That's
by
really
design, bad. Mind you. Like, right. That is by design.
That's the next step in their development. Is, last year was kind of get your feet under you. This year, you're not babies anymore. Like, these guys are young, but they've played a lot of football. Mm-hmm. They're not young by snap standards at all.
Nope.
So the next step in their evolution is win the big games. Yep. Go beat good teams. And that's TBD. We'll see. that's what's fun about this team. And the other thing that's fun is like they can get hot and go win a championship, but they're bringing a lot of guys back next year too, right? So like the future regardless is bright for this team. Now, you never want to take that for granted because the NFL is a weird, weird league where it can look – I mean, hell, look at the 2010 Packers where we thought, man, we got – we'll be back here. Haven't been back since, right? So you can never take success for granted in the NFL, but they should have a very bright future regardless. But it's just going to take – like it's got to be so frustrating for the coaches and for the players. The pre-snap penalties, they're just the dumb stuff. If they can get that cleaned up. And, Jacob, we might as well just have titled our podcast If all year. What if? This is the what if team of all what if teams. What if, you know, week one, you can go look at five plays in that Philadelphia game that if they just would have went their way, what if they would have won that game? You know, the Lions game, what if they can just get one fourth down snap? This game, what if Edgerton Cooper lines up not in the neutral zone?
Well, he didn't. but what if you don't fall behind 27, 20 to 3, and 27 to 10? That's the part I want to get to because you talked about starting fast. You want a trend for Green Bay in these games. They play Philly. They get two turnovers that put them inside the 10. Maybe not inside, but they kick two short red zone field goals, and it's 6-0 instead of 14-0. I'm telling you, if Philly's down 14-0, that changes the script of that entire game because it has to. Now they can't run with Saquon Barkley and play this. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback, like you said. But when you ask a player to just be a straight drop back passer for, you know, 40 of the 60 minutes of the game, it's hard to do that. You know, the deception of play action passing doesn't exist when it's 14-0 or it's a two score, you know, whatever. There's that game. Then against Minnesota, the first time they played, they felt this game and the first game against Minnesota, I feel like are very similar because Green Bay, that first game against Minnesota, they're down 28-0. I know they lost by two, but it was clear who the better team was for four quarters that day. Today against Minnesota, they fall behind 20-3, then 27-10. I know the final was 27-25, but there was a graphic in the fourth quarter where Minnesota had outgained Green Bay basically 4 yards to 1. Like, there was no question who the better team was for four quarters. And that's the part that is probably the most disappointing just because this Vikings team is supposed to be a team kind of in transition. Now, their timeline has certainly changed due to Sam Darnold playing well and potentially kind of, what do they call it? Wally Pipping J.J. McCarthy to be determined on that. But that's possible.
And that's a whole other podcast.
Right. But Green Bay is supposed to be better than them, right? Detroit was the other team. Like, that was the other team in the NFC this year, especially in the North, where you're like, if you ask people before the season, who's winning the NFC North? Well, probably Green Bay or Detroit. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's going to be Detroit or Minnesota. We still don't know. And that's going to be an epic showdown on Sunday Night Football next week. Well, I'm assuming Sunday Night Football. That's not official, but it seems obvious that that's what it's going to be, right? So they've started slow in these games, though. And Matt LaFleur has done everything you can imagine. He's taken the ball first. He's deferred to the second half. More often than not, he takes the ball first. Green Bay, this is where it's on the players to me more so than the coach. In my opinion, it's the coach's job to correct the trend of them starting slow, do something different to get them ready, whatever it is. Get their piss hot, as they like to say. But, like, once the game starts, like, Josh Jacobs, you can't fumble the ball. Like, right. And Jacobs has been awesome. He's their best player. But as we've seen, Jacob Morley, you and I have talked about it, whether in a big game under Matt LaFleur, whether it's Devontae Adams dropping a back shoulder throw, Aaron Rodgers not playing up to his standard, Aaron Jones fumbling. When's the last time Green Bay's best players have played well? San Francisco, sure, Rashawn Gary was awesome for four quarters. Game record, didn't matter. They still lost. But it's pretty rare.
Super Bowl, 2010. I'm dead serious. In a big game where their stars were stars. I mean, Clay Matthews, fumble, you know, forced fumble.
12 MVP.
Julie played awesome. Gray played awesome. Nick Collins had a pick freaking six. I mean, like, we have not seen those types of performances since then. That's over a decade ago. You could probably point to some other types of, like, playoff games, but They've had some success in playoff games where guys have played really well. I mean, hell, last year, Jordan and Romeo against Dallas, like that was unbelievable. And that's, you know, with this team, speaking of Charles Woodson too, and that 2010 team, with this team, I get, and if you remember this story when Mason Crosby was struggling to make kicks, Woodson went up to him and said, hey, are you trying to make kicks or are you just making kicks? And Mason retold that story and how like such a simple thing was just so profound to him, where he's like, you're right, I'm aiming, I'm trying to make kicks, when really I'm built for this. Like, I don't need to think this hard about it. I'll just go make a kick. And to me, I think we kind of see some of that with this young Packers team. Like the mistakes that they keep making, they're trying so hard not to make those mistakes. When it's like, guys, you know the plays, you know the alignment, you know the checks. Just go play. Like last year when this team got hot, when was it? When everyone, there's no expectations. They made the playoffs last year. And if we can remember that, I know for myself, I was just like, cool, sweet, whatever happens, happens. This is awesome. They made the playoffs, like, and that team should not have made the playoffs. And then they go blow the doors off of Dallas. And you're like, oh, okay. And then expectations come into play. And they play okay against San Francisco, but then they get tight and lose the game, right? So that's, I think, part, like we talked about winning the big games, their next step in the evolution. I think that is just knowing and having that confidence that if we go out and just play, we can beat anybody and we will beat anybody. But for these guys, it's like, are you going out there and trying not to make mistakes or are you just going out there and playing? They got to go out there and play. One guy that goes out there and you can tell he just plays is 56.
Like, yes. Holy crap. Michael Myers, Edgerrin Cooper. Which I'm calling him that because he posts a picture of Michael Myers before every game for some reason, which is awesome. I got to ask him about that because what the hell, dude? Like, are you that obsessed with this dude or what's the –
That's his mentality. But, man, what – Minnesota kept running those toss plays. And they did have some success on them. It was either Edge blowing it up or they would get, like, 20 yards. It was kind of fun.
They only had one. Like, Minnesota averaged 3 yards a carry, and a vast majority of that came on – Jones had, like, a 15-yarder.
Yeah, and if there is a silver lining in this defense being so banged up, it's the fact that Edgerrin Cooper and Jeff Hafley are both Green Bay Packers.
And 71 of 72 snaps today for Edgerrin Cooper, and that's something that almost by necessity, right? Because Hopper's dinged, Quay's not playing. Like, you kind of have to do that. But 4 tackles for loss, like at some point you just kind of got to live with whatever mental mistake. And we've talked about this all year with Edgerrin Cooper, so like this isn't new. But I told a buddy of mine the other day that I'm out of the business of buying Packers jerseys simply because, number one, I will not spend $130 on a shirt just out of principle anymore. I'm too old for that. But if I were in the business, 56 would be at the top of my list. And I will say that as somebody who doesn't own one of a current player right now. So, like, that's how good he's been.
He's awesome. How refreshing to have. I mean, he's going to be on pace. And I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but he really is going to be on pace to be the best linebacker in the last 40, 40 years for this team.
He has all the skills they wanted that Quay Walker, frankly, has from a talent perspective, but he has the linebacker instincts to go with them that Walker's had some nice moments. And I said this the other day, I certainly think that the opinions of Walker inside of Lombardi Avenue are drastically different than the ones on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But
Walker was playing his best football before he got hurt too. Like, let's make no bones about that. And the other guy that people love to hate on, and I'm guilty of that as well sometimes, is Eric Stokes has sneakily played well for like the last 4 weeks. Now, could that just be because they found other areas they want to pick on? Maybe. I don't know. I want to see it longer than this, but you know, in your favorite series of movies, Lord of the Rings, Gandalf likes to say, hope is kindled. And that's kind of what I'm feeling with Stokes. Like, we were out. Like, no way this guy comes back. He's, you know, injuries, all that stuff. Like, he's had seems like a great kid, all that stuff, works hard, but injuries sometimes just take guys out. We have to watch, but he's played decent. Like, he's played like a guy that can play in the NFL. And to me, that's like, okay, so is he finally getting his feet back under him again? And what a boost that would be. I don't want to bank on that at all for the Packers. I hope the Packers don't go into this offseason and go, wow, know, Eric Stokes kind of played well the last half of the year. We don't need a corner. Like, I hope they don't do that. But, you know, two guys that have been, you know, greatly criticized on the interwebs, I think, you know, deserve some flowers as well. I think Walker was playing good football when he got hurt. And I think Eric Stokes has been playing better than people have been giving him credit for. He was not the problem versus Minnesota. Let's just say that.
Hey friends, we're about to kick off the new year and there's no better way to start 2025 than by winning. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And that's because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday, when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. Make your Prize Picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Caleb Williams to throw at least one interception, Brandon McManus to connect on two or more field goals, and I'm going to take as many Packers sacks as I can get. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Mark Murphy would be proud that he would take his advice of don't be the problem.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings, three movies about people walking. If you don't believe me, ask Randall Graves. But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Stokes has got – I'll say this. A player is never as bad as Twitter says he is. You know, I know Keyshawn Nixon, not his best day today. But if you scroll through my timeline, you'd act like he was the worst player in National Football League. That's not true. He's probably been – their most consistent cornerback this season with Alexander being hurt. Now, that's part of the reason why they've struggled as much as they have on the back end. And I say that as somebody who likes Nixon, but I don't like him as my – if he's your first boundary corner off the bench, I think you're in a really good spot. Like if he's a spot starter kind of thing. If he's your best guy, you're in a lot of trouble, especially against like these receivers like Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Now, to Jeff Hafley and the secondary's credit to some degree – they didn't hold these guys in check. I'm not trying to make it sound like they were shut down. But they – Jefferson didn't wreck the game. Addison didn't wreck the game. Like, anytime Jaire Alexander misses a game against Minnesota, you'd act like Justin Jefferson is going to go for 227 yards and three touchdowns. And that's never happened.
He really hasn't.
He's got one really, really, really good game against
Green Bay. That was like Eric Stokes' rookie year, right? That was after their what's their face PA announcer was like, like Paul Allen, yeah, bum. But like he has not killed. I do have to say, like the older I get, like when I was a kid, I hated Randy Moss, like hated him because he played so well against the Packers. The older I get, you kind of appreciate how good some of these guys are, and like that catch that got wiped out by Jordan Jefferson.
Sick.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm also so happy it got wiped out.
Real talent. Like it was funny. I said the two best plays in this game were the Josh Jacobs run through MF for space touchdown. That got, I don't think that was a hold, but it got called back. And then we had the, you know, whatever it was. What was it that called the Jefferson one back? Was that
soft? It was a holding on a offensive lineman.
Was that an actual hold? I thought the officiating was kind of
– I didn't see it. The officiating was spotty. I'm not going to lie to you, Morley. Like, when it comes to officiating,
I think they're consistently bad. Like, not great.
And that's where I'm saying, like, I basically ignore it because it's just like the low block that they called on Kraft's catch and run. Bad call. Like, but I'm like, that's just going to even out at some point somewhere else. So then you get the offsides penalty. Now, granted, that actively took points off or put points on the board for Minnesota. But like
that one to me is a little bit more egregious because it is a still shot.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's different than seeing something at full speed. But you know, there's something else. Or the old line of like one of my least favorite things when Bakhtiari was playing was like, oh, he holds on every play. It's like, well, they could call holding on every single play if they want to. The old Maddenism, if you will. So I don't pay that much attention to officiating. I think blaming refs is for losers. I give Matt LaFleur credit that after the game, he basically said, I disagreed with him, but like, I'm not paid to do that. So on and so forth. And like,
bottom line is too, Minnesota had bad calls against them. They overcame it and won the game.
Well, like, and I know that the final score of the game was 25-24 if Reichard misses that field goal,
But if Reichard misses that field goal, there's so many other things that happen too. Like, it's not just
simple. Also missed two other field goals. What if he makes one of them? You know, I mean, like, there's just so many variables that within the game.
And that's the problem. We can play the what if game with the Packers forever and ever and ever. And that is the legacy of this team to date. As of December 31st, 2024, the 2024 Packers are the what if team. What if this happened? What if that happened? I think one thing that is underscored today, I am not doing the Packers need a wide receiver one thing, which seems to be the discourse every single time the Packers lose a game. But I will tell you this. If you don't believe that Christian Watson is one of the four, and it might be underselling it, most important players to Green Bay's offense, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, I get it. You guys get annoyed by Trey Watson and their dad, whose name I don't want to butcher, so out of respect, I'm not saying it. But Mr. his father, I get it. You guys get annoyed by them defending their son and brother on the internet with mouth breathers that probably say so many worse things to them. And I understand it to some degree. I also understand if that were my brother or son on the field, you're damn right I'm telling these people to shut the hell up. But the reality is this. Despite the narratives, Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks, I think they're tied for the team lead in drops now. I would have to look.
They're both in the top three in the NFL.
Okay, so, and Reed's, Reed's drop today was the turning point of the game. Like, Green Bay goes from...
You want the top four for receivers in drops this year?
Yeah, hit me.
Jaden Reed, one. Alan Lazard, two. MVS, three. Fourth, Dontavian Wicks.
Okay.
I might have got the order mixed up, but those four, all former or current Green Bay Packers, where do they find these guys? My goodness. But that's like, yeah, I mean, you got to make those plays. I'm at the point with like Reed that, and this, I would like to see Bo Melton get some more reps. I would. I don't mean because I think he is like that much better than Jaden Reed, but it seems like he catches the ball when it comes to him pretty consistently. Malik Heath catches the ball when it comes to him pretty consistently. Christian Watson catches the ball when it comes to him pretty consistently. Like, we got to, like, these are the guys that I think deserve more reps. I don't think you can do it. This is more just me talking, and I don't think you can make that change. Like, at this point in the year, Jaden has, he's earned the right to go out there and play. But I mean, that's going to be, that's it. And if I was a betting man, that's what I would either gamble on is going to end their season or it's going to make their season is, can these young receivers make plays when plays need to be made? That would be,
yeah. It. Yeah. And like I said, that was the turning point. Like, today's game, was it a perfect throw? No. But again, that's, you got your hands on it. You got to catch it. And especially if you're
NFL receiver, you get two hands on the ball. That's got to be a catch. Got it.
Right. And I would be a little more forgiving if it were Malik Heath or Bo Melton. But Jaden Reed's a top 50 pick. And their leading receiver by yardage. Catch the ball. Like, simple as that. Catch the ball. And he hasn't done that enough this year. If he catches that, Green Bay is going in. At worst, it's 7-6. At best, it's 10-7. Instead, yep. Minnesota goes down and gets the field goal after the egregious offsides penalty. And now eventually it gets to 20-3 before they got
the comeback after half and then just marched down the field and scored too. So
right. So now instead of, you know, 10-10 or whatever at halftime, now it's 20-3 in the middle of the third quarter. That is a, especially against someone like Brian Flores and that Minnesota defense, when you're predictable against them, that is when they're at their best. When Minnesota has struggled this year on defense, it's been when the opposing team can stay on schedule, stay ahead of the sticks, do whatever they want, essentially, from a run pass standpoint. Green Bay wasn't able to do that because they were down by three scores for the vast majority of the second half.
Do you want to hear a silver lining?
Is it Lord of the Rings related? Because if it is, then
no. I don't. And this is a bit of copium, but we lost. So, silver lining: if Minnesota loses this game, they've got nothing to play for next week in Detroit. Detroit, nothing to play for. Depending on Philadelphia. I don't know. So I might have just blown up my entire theory. I don't know. But either way, the fact that they won means these two teams are going to have to go like smash each other's faces next week to try to win that game. That is going to be a hard-fought, tough game. That Green Bay doesn't really have to do that. I mean, yes, they're going to go in. They're going to want to – it'll be interesting to see what they do. They're going to want to go in and beat Chicago.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to play.
Yeah.
They're going to play as if they want to win.
I hope they do. I hope they do. I believe in that. I think resting the rest versus rust stuff, I believe that rust is a real thing. I really do. So I hope they play, and healthy players should be playing. I do think if, like, hey, Christian, if your knee is still bothering you, and take another week, you know, whatever. But, like, if you're healthy, if you're feeling good, I think they're going to be on the field. But it's just – in any case, even if they do play, I don't know what Chicago is going to bring. Like, you get up 10-0, 14-0 on them. Are they going to fight back? Are they going to want to keep playing? Are they going to be thinking about Cancun, right? Are they going to be thinking about where can I chant Green Bay sucks this offseason and get everyone hyped up? You know, so that's going to be interesting because that game could be over at halftime. And it could be kind of a similar to the Saints game where it was like the Packers had the opportunity to make that a boring game because they just beat them that they were that much better than them. It has that chance. That's not going to be the case for Detroit or Minnesota next week. And we know when Green Bay's played both those teams twice, those are two physical teams who, you know, pride themselves on physicality. Green Bay is too. They've just been on the short end of the stick four times.
Yeah, Green Bay is not losing. So for anybody that wants to do stuff like that, Green Bay is not losing games because they're being out physical. Like, if you're saying that, you're just committed to a narrative from the past. Green Bay is losing for lack of execution.
They're not.
And I also think that this is something, and this is kind of an off-season podcast, but I think it's a lack of blue chippers. You know, Minnesota, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and I don't pick that position.
Wide receiver one? You're talking about they need a wide receiver one? Is that what you just said?
No. But on defense, Greenard is a blue chipper.
Yeah, they struck gold with both Van Ginkle
and Greenard. And they have, and they're made better by Brian Flores, which the Packers are made better by Jeff Hafley. But, like, how many blue chippers does Green Bay have on either side of the ball?
And this,
like,
will be
Sam Darnold's not a blue chip quarterback. Jordan Love probably isn't either. And that's not a knock. It's just saying, you know, whatever the next one is, like red chips, that's probably what those guys are at this point. But like, Green Bay just doesn't have. You know, you go back to that 2010 team, just go back to Nick Collins, Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews, Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings.
Tremont Williams was playing like a blue chipper in that run. You know,
right. And maybe Green Bay has those players emerge here in the future, but they don't have that now. And that's something that, for as much as we praise Brian Gutekunst, and he deserves it, I'm not saying he needs to be fired. I'm not saying he sucks. I'm not saying anything like that. But when you're kind of swinging and missing or swinging and not fully hitting on first-round picks – that's where some of this starts to show up. And Green Bay, they need their red chip guys to all play well. And the reality is they didn't do that today.
And this is an offseason conversation as well. But the thing about Brian Flores is he's been able to build that defense the way he wants it. Right. Though he went out and got Van Ginkle and Greener because he said those guys can play really well on my defense. What's that going to look like for Hafley this offseason?
Yeah, Jeff Hafley got Xavier McKinney because of that. So now he'll probably get some DBs or
They've got money to spend this offseason. So, you know, 3 years ago, going into Jordan Love's starting year, the season that everyone really pointed to as, like, there's where your window is wide open, there's where you really need to make a run, is going to be next year, where you can kind of look at the cap situation and say, oh, wow, they're going to have money to spend if some of these young guys can develop, and they have. So it'll be exciting. We're talking like they've already lost in the playoffs, and they have, and they could still go on a run this year and win the damn thing. So who knows? We'll see.
We will see. We will see next week. As of right now, like I said, we don't know when the Packers are playing. I was just scrolling to try and see if that would happen. If you want the Eagles and the Lions and the Vikings to all have something to play for next weekend, then you're rooting for San Francisco to have won the game, which would have been last night by the time you're watching this. So you're hoping San Francisco won that game. It's the only way to make it, because then if Philly wins, then actually I don't think Philly can play for the one seed now that I mentioned, because one of Detroit or Minnesota is only going to have – I don't know. That would give Detroit a third loss. Minnesota would need a third loss. So I don't know. However that works out. So forget everything I just said. That was great radio. We're out of time for the show. Packers lose 27-25 to the Vikings. Check out us. Like, rate, subscribe. That button's right there. Follow the show. It's on Twitter, X, at Packaday Podcast. You can follow me. I'm at Jacob Westor. If you can follow him, he's at Jacob Morley. Appreciate you guys for joining. It's almost playoff time. Chicago, Green Bay, Lambeau Field to close out the regular season. The last time the Packers, in all likelihood,
will be at Lambeau Field this season. So if you're going there, make the most of that. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the new year, everybody. Thanks for listening as always, and we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.